So this morning we're going to look at a man called Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2. He's mentioned twice, actually, in the book of Philippians. Only twice in the whole of the Bible is he mentioned. We have this reading from Philippians chapter 2. And he's also mentioned once in Philippians chapter 4. So in about a minute we can hear all that the Bible tells us about this man Epaphroditus. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, Paul writes, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. And then in chapter 4, verse 18, indeed I have all and abound, Paul says, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. That's all we know of Epaphroditus. So we're going to piece the pieces together this morning, fit them together, and hear about and learn from this man who was a follower of Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, we can discern that Epaphroditus had come from Philippi. He'd come bringing gifts to be used for meeting Paul's needs while he was in prison. I've received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, Paul says. And then Epaphroditus bringing these gifts had remained with Paul for a while. And now Paul was ready to send him back to Philippi. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, he says. And that thought governs what Paul writes in chapter 2. Paul explains why he's sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi. It seems as if it was Paul's decision alone to send him back. I considered it necessary, Paul says. Paul thought it best to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. And many believe that Epaphroditus took this letter, the letter of Paul to the Philippians, that Epaphroditus took the letter during that return back to Philippi, and that when he returned, the letter that Epaphroditus had brought from Paul was read to the entire congregation. So we're going to think of the man this morning, verse 25. His sickness, verses 26 and 27. And then his reception, how Paul wanted the Philippians to receive him, verses 28 to 30. So first of all, the man, verse 25. And Paul uses these five terms to describe Epaphroditus: my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. And as we work through those, there's application, not just as we learn about Epaphroditus long ago, but what that means for you and me this morning. What Paul says is a call for us to esteem, to think highly of Epaphroditus. But we do well to think about how those characteristics also should be mirrored in our own lives as well. So first of all, Paul says of Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow believer. In Bible times, people addressed fellow believers with these family terms. And that practice comes out clearly in this letter of Paul to the Philippians. 8 times in this letter, Paul refers to fellow Christians under the banner of brothers, brethren. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 4, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. Chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, he writes. So Paul considered those in Philippi who were believers to be his brothers, and that is spiritual brothers. Now that includes sisters as well, brothers and sisters. Paul is using what we would call an inclusive masculine. He's using brothers to refer to brothers and sisters alike. And that's appropriate terminology for Christians. The church is a church family with brothers and sisters who are joined together by faith in one Saviour, Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the church family, when we talk about a brother or a sister, that follows a pattern set out for us in the Scriptures, and it is set out for us and established even by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ was at a home, and the house was so full that his mother and brothers had come to visit but were unable to enter the house. And word of what was happening outside reached those inside, and they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." Now that's referring to his physical mother and brothers. But at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Then looking around at those who were listening to him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother." So that's the reason Paul called Epaphroditus my brother. They weren't brothers by birth. They were spiritual brothers. Brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They both placed their faith in Jesus Christ, in his finished work on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. They'd known forgiveness of sin through faith in Jesus Christ, and they had that common bond then. So the simple application to you and me this morning is, are you a brother? Are you a sister? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? If Paul was sending you to Philippi, would he say, "My brother, my sister," that you are his brother, that you are his sister, joined to him by faith in the same Saviour, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Epaphroditus, my brother, Paul says. Then secondly, my fellow worker, working with Paul in the cause of the gospel. Now that puts Epaphroditus in the category of others in the Bible who Paul considered fellow workers. It's a significant term. Here are a few of Paul's fellow workers, Priscilla and Aquila, Romans 16. Timothy, in this letter and in Romans chapter 16 as well. Apollos, 1 Corinthians 3. Titus, 2 Corinthians 8. Philemon, in the epistle to Philemon, verse 1. Mark and Luke, in this letter, verse 23. Epaphroditus is in good company then. He's a member of the church in Philippi, but he's a fellow worker, and indeed Paul identified many in Philippi as fellow workers with him in chapter 4, verse 3. In chapter 1, we read of the church as a whole laboring for the progress of the gospel. Paul was thankful to God for them in all his prayers for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So one way that the church had participated as a fellow worker with Paul was they'd sent gifts with Epaphroditus from Philippi to Rome. And as Epaphroditus was the one who brought the gifts, that was a hard journey for him. He'd shown that willingness to serve the Lord in that way. The trip from Philippi to Rome would have been by sea. It wasn't an easy journey. It would have taken many weeks to travel between those two cities. But Paul can call Epaphroditus a fellow worker in the gospel. Are you joined by faith to Jesus Christ, a brother or sister? Are you a fellow worker in the cause of the gospel? And then thirdly, Paul says, my fellow soldier. Shoulder to shoulder, soldiers fighting shoulder to shoulder, accounted for the success of the Roman armies. Prior to Rome, most soldiers fought as individuals. They didn't fight side by side. But the Roman armies fought shoulder to shoulder. And as those Roman legions marched shoulder to shoulder and fought shoulder to shoulder, they were the terror of the ancient world. The soldiers marched behind a solid wall of shields. As they marched, they struck their shields with their swords, and they sang battle songs together. They advanced shoulder to shoulder. They fought shoulder to shoulder. And Paul is saying, in a spiritual sense, not a military sense, you understand. Here's Epaphroditus, shoulder to shoulder with Paul, in the conflicts, victories, and battles of the Christian life. Epaphroditus shared that honor of being associated with Paul, even in his difficulties while in prison in Rome. He'd encountered dangers in the spread of the gospel and perhaps even in the journey that he'd traveled from Philippi to Rome, but he was a fellow soldier. And if you're a Christian this morning, you understand then. You're enlisted as a soldier to fight the good fight of faith. Stand up for Jesus we stand. Because you fight as a soldier against the world, the flesh, the devil. And sadly, many believers don't understand that being delivered from the powers of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son brings you into a spiritual battle then. Many believers are wounded if they don't put on the gospel armor that we sang about in Soldiers of Christ, Arise and Put Your Armor On. Why does Charles Wesley speak of gospel armor? Well, he writes about it because it's an important part of the Christian life, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Keep your armor bright, attend with constant care, wrestle, spiritual warfare, fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day. Is your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a fellow worker in the gospel? Do you see that puts you then into a spiritual dimension of warfare? We fight against the world, the flesh and the devil. My brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger, Paul says. Epaphroditus was the one who brought the gifts from the Philippians to Paul. He would have also come with a report from Philippi of how things were going. How did Paul know about what was going on in the church in Philippi? How did he know that two women, Euodia and Syntyche, were quarrelling? How did Paul know that the Philippians were concerned about Paul in his imprisonment, his house arrest? How did Paul know that the Philippians had a heart for his ministry? Well, Epaphroditus was their messenger. He had brought the gifts and he'd brought the report. So Paul calls Epaphroditus their messenger. And that message was an important message that he brought to the Apostle Paul. And it's likely that he carried this letter then back to Philippi as Paul's messenger to them as well. And he ministered to Paul's need, fifthly. In Bible times, prisoners were not provided with everything they needed. They needed a friend. They needed someone to help them. Timothy was certainly one of those friends, but here was another, Epaphroditus. When Paul had a need, Epaphroditus was ready and willing to meet his need. Paul needed a food run, Epaphroditus was there. Paul needed clothes, Epaphroditus was there. Paul needed a message sent, Epaphroditus was there. He brought the message from Philippi. He would take a message back. He was willing to travel these long distances to get a message from one place to another. All that we see of Epaphroditus here tells us he had a heart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that's used for serve here involves not just manual, physical work, but priestly labor, Paul's spiritual needs as well were being met by Epaphroditus. He mirrored that servant heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't complain, chapter 2, verse 14. He didn't grumble, chapter 2, verse 14 again. No task was too low for him, chapter 2, verse 3. He kept Paul in mind, chapter 2, verse 4. He served with joy, rejoicing in the gospel, chapter 1, verse 27. He was thankful and prayerful, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He was an encouragement to Paul as Paul was awaiting trial. Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you serving the Lord willingly? Do you do so with joy and thankfulness? Do you speak to others of the Lord's saving power? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what Epaphroditus mirrored? It's our calling this morning. If you're a Christian, it's your calling to be faithful with the gifts God has given you. Not everyone has the ability of a Timothy, but the heart and willingness of a Timothy. Not everyone has the ability of an Epaphroditus, but the attitude and heart of an Epaphroditus, a servant-heartedness. If you're a Christian, serve the Lord. Be the man or woman that God has called you to be, to serve him. Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger who ministered to my need. It's a great encouragement, but also a challenge to us of what it means to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Epaphroditus, the man. Secondly, Epaphroditus, his sickness, verses 26 and 27. He was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul explains the sickness of Epaphroditus and why Paul wanted to send him back to Philippi. You see the logic of what Paul is saying. In verse 25, Paul explains that he thought it best for Epaphroditus to be sent back. And he tells us he was longing for you all. Epaphroditus was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. The Philippians had heard that Epaphroditus was sick and they were concerned about him. And Epaphroditus was distressed because they were concerned. He had a tender heart, Epaphroditus. He was distressed when he heard that the Philippians were concerned about him. And to give you an idea of the extent of his concern, this word distressed in verse 26 is only used three times in the New Testament. Here in Philippians, describing Epaphroditus, and then in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, which speak of the distress that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus Christ began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Matthew 26, verse 37. Mark 14, verse 36. Jesus began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then Matthew and Mark describe how distressed Jesus was. Jesus then said to Peter, James, and John, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." The Lord Jesus Christ then went a stone's throw away and began to pour out his heart. "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, those are the only other references to distress in the Bible. And certainly Epaphroditus was distressed. His distress wasn't as deep as the distress of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can see why Paul felt it necessary to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. The heart of Epaphroditus was distressed, was burdened. And Paul wanted the Philippians to know there was truth to what they'd heard about Epaphroditus, for indeed he was sick, almost to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. We don't know what Epaphroditus' sickness was. It may well have been linked to persecution. I say that because of verse 30, where Paul says, "For the work of Christ, Epaphroditus came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me." It seems there was some connection between the sickness and what Epaphroditus had done in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps Epaphroditus had been beaten up. Whatever happened, Epaphroditus was certainly sick and had been on his deathbed, but God had mercy on him. God had healed him. We should note here that sickness then is not always due to sin. Epaphroditus, esteemed by the Apostle Paul and by the Philippians, brought the gifts to Paul in Rome from Philippi. He was a man who was described by the Apostle Paul as a servant heart, and yet Epaphroditus was sick. Now there are those who teach that sickness always comes only because of sin. If you're sick, you've sinned. If someone tells you that, run. That sickness is always due to sin. That teaching is not in the Bible. It's also very discouraging and very damaging to believers like Epaphroditus, who are serving the Lord with a whole heart and then fall sick. Yes, the Bible does teach that it is possible that sickness can be due to sin. Because of abuses at the Lord's Supper, many became sick, we read. But it's a grave error of false teachers to say that all sickness is always due to personal sin. Epaphroditus is a case in point. The blind man healed by Jesus is another example. The death of Lazarus also. There are those who are sick or even die not because of personal sin directly. And the Lord here was merciful to Epaphroditus and healed him. And Paul felt it too. God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. It's another expression in Philippians of the love that Paul had for the people of God in Philippi. Losing a man like Epaphroditus, sending him back to Philippi, would have been difficult for Paul. He was facing difficulties in prison. His circumstances were grim. He was awaiting trial under an unjust accusation. He was at the mercy of the Roman authorities. He'd written about the possibility of death in Philippians chapter 1. At the end of the book of Acts, we read of Paul's imprisonment in Rome. We read in Acts 28:23 that many Jews came to him at his lodging, and he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. And some were persuaded, but some disbelieved. And Paul would write to the Roman church of his sorrow. "I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh." So it is a big loss for Paul, for Epaphroditus to go back to Philippi. Sorrow upon sorrow. But Paul was not thinking of his own interests, he was thinking of the interests of others. Which brings us then to the man, his sickness, and then thirdly, his reception. What reception should Epaphroditus have received when he returned to Philippi? "Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful." It would have been easier for Paul to have kept Epaphroditus with him. Epaphroditus was a helpful man to Paul, like Timothy was helping him in his imprisonment. But Paul was thinking about those in Philippi. Paul's expression again in Philippians chapter 2. "Let each of you look out not only for his own personal interests, but for the interests of others." Paul was willing to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of their faith. Epaphroditus was longing for those who had thought he'd died, to go back to them so that they would not be distressed. But here then Paul envisions the day when Epaphroditus returns to Philippi, probably carrying this letter. And Paul says for them it would be a day of rejoicing. It's as if Epaphroditus was raised from the dead. They would rejoice when he came into their midst. Receive him then in the Lord with all gladness, Paul says. The reaction of the congregation when Epaphroditus came with this letter from Paul. Hold such men in high esteem, Paul says to them. Paul had known Epaphroditus as a faithful servant of the Lord who had travelled to Rome, delivered the gifts that the Philippians had given to Paul, had shown a heart of love for Paul, served him, served the Lord. Yet when he went back to Philippi, they may have felt that Epaphroditus coming back to them was doing something wrong. They'd sent him to Paul with gifts. Perhaps they'd sent him to stay with Paul and serve him while he was in prison. Why had Epaphroditus come back? Paul takes full responsibility. I considered it necessary to send him to you, Paul says. It wasn't that Epaphroditus chose to go back to Philippi. Paul sent him. So hold him in high esteem, says Paul. Give him honour, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Honour Epaphroditus, says Paul. He's a true servant of the Lord. He was willing to risk his life for the service of Jesus Christ. He was willing to lay his life on the line to serve the Apostle Paul in his imprisonment. If the Lord Jesus Christ gave his all for us, if he suffered and bled and died for our sins, what should be our response to him? 2 Corinthians 5 puts it like this. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. If Jesus Christ is God, and he died for us, no sacrifice we can give is too big for him. And surely Epaphroditus knew what the Lord had done for him. As far as we can tell, Epaphroditus had come from a pagan background. I say that because when you think about his name, Epaphroditus, it's got a link to a pagan false god, Aphrodite. That's where that name originates from. It came from a pagan background. But as the gospel spread, Epaphroditus had heard about Jesus, a saviour who'd come from heaven's glory, as a servant king had come and died upon a cross for sinners. He heard about a saviour who had died for his sins and had risen from the dead, and Epaphroditus believed. And that faith meant a change in his life. Epaphroditus' faith tells us this morning that here was one now willing to risk his life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a servant heart because he trusted in a servant king as his saviour. Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe the gospel? May God work in us that servant heartedness that mirrors the servant king we've trusted in. So let's pray together. Lord, we turn to you this morning and we thank you that as we hear your word, this glorious Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, the servant king, we pray that you will teach us what it means to trust him and to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly and being willing to serve him in our day and our generation. The Saviour who gave all for us, who loved us, gave himself for us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands our soul and our life and our all. So we come to you, accept our praise. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing about the gift of God's grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. In our last hymn, it tells us that as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we do so in that glad thankfulness that we come to God through faith in a Saviour who died for us. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's stand to sing. Let's pray. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people. Today, even forevermore, world without end. Amen.